So we're going to look at the scripture again together. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, before I share some reflections on those verses. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He then sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east then went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So these magi, we don't of course know that there were three. We know there were three gifts, but we're not told how many magi, how many wise men actually came to see Jesus. These magi would have been Gentiles. They weren't Jews. They were non-Jews. So they were not members of God's covenant people, God's chosen people. And yet, it was them that received a sign. They received this sign from God. Interestingly, these men were astronomers or even astrologers, because at the time, astronomers and astrologers, really, they were pretty much the same thing. And it's interesting, the Jewish scriptures outlaws looking at the stars and believing that there is divine significance in the stars. The Old Testament says that is it's an evil thing to do. And yet, God chose this means of speaking to these men. God chose to communicate with them by reaching into their culture to connect with them in a way that they understood. I wonder, has God been using any unusual or unexpected ways to communicate with us, to connect with us recently? So these magi saw the star that was in the east, and they immediately asked the question, "Where is the baby born to be the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." So they interpreted this star in the correct way. They knew to follow it. They knew to go and find a child who was to be born in Judea. Now, there was a lot these magi, these wise men, didn't know. But they acted on what they did know. They acted in what they did know. Perhaps these learned men had read the Jewish Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. Perhaps they'd read the Pentateuch, and therefore they knew of the prophecy of Balaam that we have in Numbers chapter 24. Balaam said these words, "I look into the future, and I see the nation of Israel, a king like a bright star will arise in that nation. Like a comet, he will come from Israel." Astronomers today have been able to work back, and they believe that actually it was Halley's comet that was crossing the sky as Jesus was born. Perhaps these wise men, they read the words of Numbers chapter 24. They saw that comet and they followed. When we act on the truth that we have received, Jesus promises that we will receive more truth. He says this in John chapter 7. "Whoever is willing to do what God wants will know whether what I teach comes from God or whether I speak on my own authority." We are called to act on what we do know, and God will respond and respond to our questions and reveal more to us. So, they received a sign. They also realized the danger. At this time, Jerusalem was known as Jerusalem the Golden, because it was such a beautiful city. It was filled with beautiful buildings and was just known as one of the most beautiful cities in the known world. But it was also full of the agents and the informants for King Herod. King Herod was one of the most ruthless, cruel men of this age. He killed his own sons because he felt threatened by them wanting to take his throne. He also fell out with his own wife, and so he had her murdered. This was not a man that you wanted to get too close to be honest. But into this city, filled with his informers and his agents, come these wise men, these magi, who seem to be quite naive. So into a city where there is a king who is so lacking in trust and is paranoid about his throne being taken from them, these wise men come along and say, "We are asking about where is the new king?" Perhaps not the wisest question to ask. No wonder they caused a furore in that city. I guess it was understandable. They thought a new king equals government and a lavish palace. That'll be the place to go to find the new king. But of course, this was to be a very different kingship. Jesus was to be a very different sort of king. Herod whisked them away. Interestingly, he took them off in secret to speak to them. Didn't speak to them in his court. He took them away and spoke to them privately. So in this palace built for one of the most arrogant, evil men of his age, it's interesting that when he Herod spoke to his scribes and his teachers of the law, they could still tell him the Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. Even in a court that was so full of awful behavior, of ambition, of greed, of hatred, and of lust. You may remember that one of Herod's daughters dancing for him in a very provocative way a few years later. But even in a court that is so riven with evil behavior and difficult behavior, still the word of God was recognized as such. And even today, in our world, many people still recognize the truth of God's word. So they realize the danger. And when King Herod heard about this, he was so upset, as was everyone in Jerusalem. They then also revised their plans. We're told that in verse 9, they left Herod's palace, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were. What joy was theirs. It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So it's interesting. As they left Jerusalem, obeying the word of God that they had heard, they noticed that the star they had seen that had simply been in the east, it then started to guide them specifically. It then went ahead of them. It was guiding them specifically to where God wanted them to go. The Bible can also do this for us. It can open us up to the guidance and the leading of God. No wonder they were so overjoyed. God was focused on them receiving his truth and meeting his son. They see the child with Mary. Interestingly, there's no mention of Joseph. Perhaps he's got a little job to bring some money in because, hey, they weren't rich. Perhaps he had to find some work. And so perhaps he was out earning a crust to be able to keep his new little family afloat. But these magi, can you imagine what Mary says when Joseph comes? Well, hey, you won't believe who's just been here. And look, with presents. So they see the child with Mary, and they worship, and they offer their gifts. As they sleep before leaving, they find that God speaks directly to them, once again, through a dream. They return to their country by another road, since God had warned them not to go back to Herod. See, an encounter with Jesus can still change the direction of people's lives today. These wise men changed their direction, both in order to meet Jesus, and they also did so even after having met him. Their direction of their journey and the direction of their lives changed because of an encounter with Jesus. So they responded to the king. They responded to his word to them. They went into the house. Interestingly, no longer in the stable. They'd been able to move into a house. And when they saw the child, they knelt down and worshipped. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and presented them to him. Let's just look back for a moment to their encounter with the baby Jesus. After what we think was probably a journey of over 1,000 miles to reach Jesus. After months of searching, after moments of danger when they get to the palace of Herod and are questioned by him, and then being led by this miraculous star, their eyes now see the promised king, and they worship. I want to just finish with this word worship and look at where it actually comes from. Worship comes from an old English word, worthship. Worthship. Giving someone what they are worth. This Christmas, let's not try to sentimentalize the Christ child. Isn't he sweet? Rather, let's give him what he is worth as we offer our worship. Amen.